Hello, people. Welcome to the Idea Talks podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today's episode is one of those words that we just want to release to help encourage you, bless you in this time that we are in. So we're just going to go straight into it. Thank you again. Hello, people. Hi, how are you? Welcome to the Edea Talks podcast. My name is Moedea. I am your host on this podcast. Thank you again for tuning in. I trust that you guys are all well. You're good. You're keeping safe. You are doing all the necessary things you need to be doing. And we're going to really delve into some of that today. It's interesting because the next in the series for our She Win series was going to be the last in the specific series that we were going to release today, but I had to be completely obedient to the Lord and just release something that He laid on my heart, and I've meant to have released it through whatever means. It was going to be another means previously, but I meant to have just, like, you know, get it out there, because I do believe that there are a few people that this word will really resonate with. And it's been on my heart for, I would say, a good couple of weeks, and it's just been brewing, and it's just been God's been showing me more and more about it. So I just really needed to come and just, like, you know, share what's being said. And, you know, I believe it will resonate so strongly with, you know, some of you who are listening, and I pray all of you to some extent in whatever way. So we are going to get straight into it, because I really don't want to be on here too long, but I absolutely love talking to you guys. Following this, we will release that last bit of our She Win series for this time, but I need to be obedient. So the word which has really been on my heart, you know, we are currently, I know you may listen to this in a year from now or 2 years from now, so it may seem like, what are you talking about? But, you know, we're currently in 2020. It is May 2020. You know, we've been in sort of the quarantine or social distancing, as they call it, mode. You know, everyone sort of staying at home as much as possible, working at home, all of that. And this one, I say we, this is a global thing. I know that different states, cities, nations across the world have different things going on, etc. Where I am, we are still in lockdown, albeit there's kind of a few modifications to that, but it's still lockdown. Those modifications don't really I'm not gonna go into that, but so that's where we are at the moment. So you might listen to this and, you know, it's a year or 2 years and you're like, what were you talking about? But, you know, I come on this podcast and I deliver what God lays on my heart, so that's why I'm sticking to that. And maybe I'll start off with taking a step back a little bit to set the foundation. So, you know, in the season that we're in, it's such a pivotal time. And I'm not just saying that because that's a buzzword or a fancy word to say, or, you know, all of that, but it's such a pivotal time. It's a time that's almost like a move where something is happening, and some people will get on board and some people won't. Some people would miss it, some people would, you know, want to keep things as they were, or be fighting so much within themselves to keep things as, you know, back, or trying to get back to normal. That's kind of what most people's goal is, to get back to what life was, business as usual. I very much believe that that is not the point of any of this. Now, you know, God knew about this. So I think we talked about a couple of episodes back, God knew about this happening before, you know, we all knew it would happen and all of that. So it's always been factored into God's plan. It's always been factored into what He would have His people do at this time. So whether the enemy is doing what he wants to do, all of that, you know, whether he's out of time or he's, you know, whatever he's doing, God is all knowing. So everything would have been factored. So God has a plan for his people. He has a mandate. He has a schedule. He has something that his people should be sticking to and should be referencing. And it's our job in this time to actually seek that from him directly, like not relying so much on what a lot of us tend to rely on is somebody's, you know, sermon or somebody's word they spoke of our lives or, you know, what they're going to say over us, etc. That's all good and all wonderful. And, you know, that's all there to equip the body and empower the body. But really, the core of this moment in time is such that we are at the feet of Jesus, like at the feet of Jesus. And I just actually today had this picture of thinking about the big book of Ruth and what, you know, Naomi told Ruth to do on the threshing floor, and, you know, to, you know, Boaz, and actually go and kind of lie at his feet, if that, you know, I'm just paraphrasing the story in that sense. But, you know, we're literally at the feet of him to understand, you know, God, what to understand, like what he's saying, what we should be doing, or just also just even surrendering ourselves, firing up our altars, all of those things. But if I want to see things from the bigger picture, I go back to a dream I had, which I wasn't really, really going to talk about because I'm not, I dream a lot. And I, you know, a lot of, I'll say half the time will be quite personal. Some I don't understand. I'm getting, you know, around it. Some of it is, you know, dream. Am I dreaming about something global? In fact, I've dream about stuff that's global, nations, whatever, other people, you know, all of that. I don't tend to like share things like that necessarily if I don't need to. But this specific dream was quite quick. It wasn't like I tend to dream. If you're a dreamer, a seer type person, you might have a pattern by which you do things. I could dream and dream. You know, I wake up quite a bit in the middle of the night anyway. I could wake up 3 times and go to bed and continue my dreams like a movie. That I'm so used to that now. And that's usually when it's something I need to pay attention to. But also in that, I, you know, could dream and could have like a series of 6 dreams in the night. Like one dream finishes, like mini series one, the next one, that, you know, all of that good stuff. So, you know, I thank God for the bit that, you know, and being that way. But in this specific dream, it was just a quick, I don't remember it being such a long drawn out dream. It was part of my dream one night. Is I think I did write on my Instagram, and it was released not because I'm trying to say, oh, I dream and all this, you know. It's more like trying to draw the attention of the body of Christ to the truth and to where we almost like remembering that there is a timeline, remembering that there are patterns, remembering that there are all these things, that we just don't exist to just exist. We're not just there to be there, you know. And in this dream, I just remember, as I said, it was a really quick dream, part of a dreams for the night. And I just remember it being that I saw an extremely gorgeous bride, be the most beautiful bride that my eyes had laid on. And it wasn't I'm seeing this person and I'm there and I'm going to their wedding, or like a friend, it was something. It wasn't like a friend's wedding or something. It was just, I saw this gorgeous, beautiful bride. Like, I was so drawn by the beauty of this bride, and the bride was preparing, like she was getting ready, you know, to put her veil on and all that stuff. And, you know, thinking, just getting herself ready. And she was so, so, so beautiful. And I just knew in my mind, in the dream, oh, this is the most beautiful bride I've ever seen. And she was preparing, and I was watching her prepare. And I was like, and then I knew, it wasn't even as if I had to stop myself. It was almost like instantly I knew within myself that this wasn't like a bride going to meet this, you know, handsome Ken. I'm thinking Bobby and Ken, but like this man, you know, I knew that this bride was, I was like, wow, this is beautiful. And then I knew it was like a revelation was coming upon me about being, you know, the bride of Christ. And it was a preparation. So it had something to do with it had very much had to do with Christ. And I can't remember if it was before the dream or after the dream, but I remember waking up and thinking, there's a book I bought a couple of years ago, I believe, when I went to, or it might have been last year, when I went to Jerusalem. I saw the book 2 years ago, and it was one copy left in this place of the book, and a friend bought the book. And I remember taking pictures of it and thinking I really would love to get this book. And I came back, looked for it on Amazon. It didn't exist. It wasn't on Amazon, rather. So when I went to Jerusalem last year, we happened to go to the same place. If you've been to Jerusalem, please go to the International House of Prayer. Or if you're going, rather, when outside is open again. There basically is... I could probably talk more about what they do there, but they was basically where we bought the book the first time. So they had this book the second time. So I just remember I was so excited. Oh my gosh, I can buy this book. Now, for the life of me, I have so many books. I buy books like seriously. So the way some people buy, I don't know, shoes or something, I buy a lot of books. So I bought the book excitedly. I don't think I ever really read it. I think I probably looked through, but it was one of these books of sort of combination of pictures and, you know, reading wasn't like a novel. Anyway, so I think before the dream, I felt like my mind had been alerted to that book. So I guess my mind was on the bride already, in a sense. There were a few other things, scriptures and things that had like dropped in my mind, but I didn't really dwell on it too much. And then I had this dream and I was like, oh my gosh, it was like I had the dream and it was really quick, as I said. And it was like I instantly knew what it was. You know, you just have the revelation, and it was like there is a preparedness that is in this time. There is a preparedness for the body that needs to take place, for the body of Christ. Because it wasn't like I knew the bride was going to be, you know, to meet her groom, who is Christ. But I didn't see the groom necessarily. I don't recall that. I just know I saw the bride preparing, and I saw her like going, like she was moving, and I saw her preparing, like, you know. But she was so beautiful. She was almost beautiful and flawless. And that scripture that says, I'm coming back for, you know, my church, my bride, without spot or blemish. As I woke up, I literally was, that dream. And then that scripture popped in my mind because I just remembered this is a flawlessly beautiful person. So definitely couldn't be any of my friends. Sorry, I love you guys. But yes, I think it wasn't even, someone asked me about the race, but I'm not even going to go into all of that. But this person was extremely beautiful. And I knew so in the dream, this was something to do with the bride of Christ. And it was like a preparedness is coming upon the body, or needs to come upon the body. This is a time. And I guess with all of that, if I think back to that time, I'd been praying, I'd been plugging myself into a lot of prayer happening for the church, intercession, etc. So I've been plugging myself into a lot of intercessory prayer happening around me. So, and you know, a lot of that included praying for the church. In fact, at the time, actually, before that, actually, I think it was over the Passover resurrection weekend, the Lord had impressed on my heart to have intercessory prayers within our Adia Talks prayer room group. So we had that, and we spent one of the days we had was literally praying for the body of Christ in the church. So there's just a lot that's been kind of happening in that, and I just had been doing it like almost like clockwork. You know, you're praying as the Lord puts something on your heart, you pray for it. Then this dream happened. Probably I'd never really connected them, but it was after, you know. So thinking about everything, I'm just like, okay, there is a preparedness. It's like the Lord is just highlighting so much. There is a preparedness that comes up, that should come upon my people, because I'm coming back for a bride without a church, without spot or blemish. Actually, I'll use bride. Let me just use bride without you know, spot or blemish. So a flawless bride, one that's prepared, one that's has their heart united to me. And if we think about without spot or blemish, now it's not like a physical thing necessarily, but there's a oneness. And this is another word, you know, the Lord has literally been drumming at me for the past 3 days. Oneness, oneness, oneness. That's been like my word. But if I wanted, then, you know, really think about what the Lord's saying in terms of the bride and the preparedness, then I began to think, okay, Lord, it was almost like I asked the question in my mind, like, what is its preparedness? But I didn't dwell on it too much and stay there. And then when the things that over this past few weeks the Lord's been highlighting to me, it then made sense about what this preparedness is. And a lot of it is down to the heart. I believe that in this season, in fact, more than I know that my name is what my name is, and more than I know, I was about to switch into a real raw Nigerian accent there, but you know, more than I know, you know, that the sky is blue, you know, more than that, I am so certain that the Lord is doing a heart work. Hey, Ada, a heart work in the season, in the body. He's doing a heart work. What is happening is that, and not everybody is awake to it or is aware of it or just doesn't, you know, they might not really understand what's going on. But what is happening is in this time, we have more time generally on our hands. Well, some of us, yeah, we'll have more time even though we're working, we're busy. We have more time because we're not commuting, we're not doing all those other activities we'd normally do. So to some extent, we have more time, we have more flexibility to be able to do things in different ways, etc. And what that has done and what that's doing for us is more time to spend with the Lord, which is what we should be doing and what we've been saying since. Seek God, use this time, more time with Jesus, etc. But what that's doing for us, which is necessary because it's the process of our hearts being, our heart needs to get to the state of oneness and needs to come up higher and get closer. And it's a process of the preparedness of the body, right? You know, and the bride, you know, what that is doing. And I'm not, sorry, just my disclaimer here. I'm not, at this point right now, I'm just saying in this podcast, I'm not here to say, is the body, the bride, the church the same? There's, you know, different theological reasons, arguments, all of that. I'm not an expert on that. I'm learning a lot about that, but that's not, I'm just saying preparing for coming for his people. So let's just use the bride and the body interchangeably. So, you know, there's a preparedness and there's a preparedness of heart. You know how God looks at the heart and not the physical person. So in essence, it's really the hearts that God is getting us more and more closer to be. More like, you know, we want to be more Christ-like. And it really is a state of our hearts that gets us there. Everything starts with the heart. Everything. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, out of the abundance of the heart is the mouth speaketh. You know, where your heart is, your treasure is. Everything is your heart. Your heart is the fountain. Is like everything flows from it, right? So it's the oneness, the preparedness all comes from the heart. It's a heart work. It's a heart preparedness that needs to happen. Now, what the Lord is then really highlighting to me is that a lot of us who are now in this position where we are spending more time with him, you know, we're kind of getting back to the basics. And the spending more time doesn't always necessarily mean I have more quiet time. It just means, and for a lot of us, it should be that we have, yes, it could be more quiet time, but it's a more of an awareness of God as well, because a lot of things are quieting down and, you know, the chaos, the running around is kind of quieting down in our mind physically and, you know, all of that. So things are just generally quieter. Now they may seem busy because there's all sorts going on in those social media. This is it, but generally, I'm saying just things are just generally quieter, right? So what's then happening is that because there's the quietness, we have more of an awareness of God, and because we also know, while there's stuff going on in the world, we can't explain all of this. There's now even the unbeliever is having an awareness of God. So imagine believers having more of an awareness of God, such that people that used to sometimes separate God with, you know, okay, God is Sunday, or God is when I, you know, when I join this prayer call, that's when I remember God, and when I'm at work or when I'm here, I don't, you know, different things, where there used to be this separation of like, we don't bring God into our space. And I'm not saying it means we're perfect, but, you know, we don't bring God into like okay, God, my job, Lord, I need help with, you know, remind me, Holy Spirit, of this, or show me how to deal with this issue, where we don't bring him into, sometimes separate him or leave him for the Sundays or the church days or whatever. You know, there's now an awareness of God more generally on the earth. Like, there's more of an acknowledgement, really, even as I said, from the unbeliever. So there's all of that happening. And what God is doing is he's working in our hearts. Now, what that is doing is a heart work. And what happens with a heart work is it is not just a straightforward, everything seems rosy and dandy work. What God then does, because he's trying to get us to be more, or the goal rather is to get us to be more Christ-like, to be with oneness, you know, even think about bride and groom, when they come together, there's a oneness. But they have a courtship period as well, where they're getting to know each other. They're getting to get acquainted. They're getting to have the same unified mind, unified heart, etc. happening. There's all of those things going on. And in that, you know, if we think about it with the Lord, he's doing that. And there's a heart work going on. And what the heart work does is, it's literally like a purification process. You know, the purity of heart. What that is doing is it will raise up certain things to us. So it would highlight something. So we could have been walking with God for X and X number of years. We could have thought, this is going well. Oh God, I've dealt with this. I've gotten over this, blah, blah, blah. You know, everything's going well. We now come into this period. There's more of an awareness of God. We're spending more time with him. Then we suddenly notice that something gets highlighted to us, like, now, this could have been something that happened 2 months ago, which we didn't even, like, it never fell on our radar. We just brushed it. It was like, okay, whatever. Maybe you saw something and you had a certain negative thought about it, but it didn't occur to you, as a negative thought at the time, because it's just your antennas were just not wired to pick it up as a negative thought. You didn't think anything of it. But now you see that same thing and it's like, kind of like, ooh. Negative, it's a negative thought, but it then you then become aware that it's a negative thought. So as Holy Spirit's like, yeah, that thing you saw, you were a bit, you know, maybe say insecure or jealous when you saw that thing. And he's now like, before you could have had the insecurity or the jealousy, but you would have never recognized it as that. But in this time, you're now recognizing it as the insecurity or jealousy, let's just say, as you know, examples, right? You're recognizing it as that, and because Holy Spirit's highlighting to you, and you're thinking, huh, me? Like, how can I be jealous or insecure about this thing? Like, God, I've come all this way, or I've gotten over it, or maybe you knew you had the problem before, but you thought you dealt with it. And he's like, well, not quite. I'm highlighting it to you. So one thing happens, you see that, you kind of like, okay, maybe it's just me. Then more stuff happens that highlights and is drawing, and you're thinking, God, like, what's going on? It's like, what's happening to me? Like, I thought, like, I was good with all of this stuff. Like, God, I'm spending more time with you. I have more of an awareness with you. Is this meant to happen? Is this really happening? Or is the enemy playing tricks on my mind? What's going on? Am I not meant to be this wonderful saint because I'm spending all this time with you, Jesus, and I'm thinking about you? But it's a heart work that's going on. It is a purification process that's going on. It is an awareness of God you have, that he's highlighting the impurities to you. They were there all along, but they were just there and they blended in and you had no idea. They, like, you thought they were gone and dead and buried or whatever, and they had been washed out of your life, but you had no idea. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures. Which will help us think about this more and the process of refining. I've been studying last month, I would say. I studied a lot on the book. Well, not a lot, not as much as I would love to, but I did read and study in some parts the book of Daniel quite a bit. And Daniel is so, like, I was looking the other day, I was like, Daniel really knew his God. Like, that's another conversation. But I was like, this gentleman, this uncle was amazing. Like, he just knew his God and he was so sure, and I really admire that about him. But I was studying or just reading about him generally, and in this time we're in, Daniel is so relevant. There's so much about the end times in Daniel. There's so much about, you know, how he navigated through things, how he was just a kingdom person, like if you're a kingdom of God person and you're establishing the kingdom in everything you do, your how you operate, your relationships, your business, you know, all those seven mountain things, all of those things. If you're somebody who is a kingdom person, I encourage you to study Daniel. But, and he was a prophet, basically. Anyway, but the scripture I want to read, I'm going to read two scriptures from Daniel because they talk about refining. So I'm going to read a scripture in Daniel, the book of Daniel, and then I'm going to read another scripture. But the first one in the book of Daniel I'm going to read is from Daniel 12, verses 10. And it says, many will be purged, purified, and refined, but the wicked will act wickedly. And none of the wicked will understand, but those who have insight will understand. I'll read that again. It says, many will be purged, purified, and refined. That's what we talked about. So talking about the purification process, the oneness, all of that. It's a process of purification, you know, purged is also like a removing of, you know, we say, some people say, Lord, purge me, like remove all the impurities, purge me, purify me, refine me. You know, we hear, you know, the song, refine us fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy. You know, refine us fire. Take, you know, people say, yeah, some people say, take me through the refine us fire. But anyway, we'll talk about that shortly. But yes, so many will be purged, purified, and refined, but the wicked will act wickedly. So the wicked will continue to act wickedly, but they will act wickedly. So they will just continue to do what they're doing. And that's happening. And none of the wicked will understand, but those who have insight will understand. So as the purification and purging process is going on, the wicked will continue to do what they do. The wicked will not understand it. But it's those who have insight that will understand. It's the people of the Lord who have insight that will understand. The second scripture I'm going to read, because I found this, it actually caused me to do a bit more research. Because I didn't actually know about this, is in Zechariah 13:9, and it says, and I will bring the third part through the fire, refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people, and they will say, the Lord is my God. This is what got me about the scripture. Now, a lot of the times when we're talking about the process of refinement, we speak about, I don't know, gold is the thing that comes to mind, right? And gold, you know, gold has a refining process. It goes through fire. The impurities, I believe the impurities rise to the top and are taken out. So that's the same, you know, the heart process, right? The impurities are coming. They're coming. The Lord is highlighting impatience, insecurity, pride. And pride is double-edged. Pride, insecurity can, you know, it's hinged on pride, you know, the whole pompousness or whatever, pride, all of those things, arrogance, you know, this, that, even ambition, dare I say, ambition, that will be a different discussion. But yeah, all those things, they rise to the top. So think about the gold purification process. So that's, yes, that, okay, so that, and it says, refine them as silver is refined and test them as gold is tested. So silver, I never knew anything about silver refinement. Like, you know, I just was like, okay, I know about gold, I know a bit about diamonds, you know, and, you know, the four C's and all that. But, you know a bit about diamonds because you hear about it, you know, the sand, you know, all of those minerals, how they're all done. I just never knew about silver because it's like, no one ever really talks about it. I mean, in the word, yeah, but I never really hear about it. So I actually did a little bit of research on the process of silver refinement. And to use my Nigerian phrase, I'm like, Omo, what is happening here? I didn't realize, I just never appreciated until reading this and actually going to therefore look at it. The process of the silver refinement, to me, from what I know about gold refinement, it feels like silver is actually more, but, you know, that's by the by. But it's a lot because it doesn't actually start off being silver. It's like a dark gray or like a dove gray type color, I think, or I think more darker gray. And then it goes through different processes, and all the processes I was seeing, I wish I could play the video, because the video actually had some audio on YouTube. All the processes I was seeing about silver refinement, literally, it, you know, it had stuff to do with it being shaken, being put through water, being beaten, being like, you know, all sorts of things happening, being mixed with something else to extract something from it. It literally went through so many, like a lot of processes happen before the silver is actually obtained as silver, because before it becomes the silver block, which then becomes silver that is used. But it is such a process, and you know, looking through everything, I think the water piece is what got me. It also goes through fire, similar, but the silver sinks at the bottom, I think, similar to gold, but don't quote me, you guys can go and check it out. But the point I'm making is, you know, this scripture talks about refine them as silver. And I hadn't appreciated that silver went through this refinement process. Now, again, what got me was the fire that the silver goes through, and that whole process of refinement with what we tend to hear with refinement, and also the water, the process of it had, there's a part where there was, you know, it kind of had a lot of gush with water, like high pressured water, you know, through it as well as part of that process. But the point I'm making is that all of these, you know, there is a process of refinement to get to that place, and for us to the oneness that Christ wants us to get to with him, and the unity and the preparedness of the body means that there is a lot of refinement going on. There's a lot of change going on. Another thing the Lord has spoken to me about, which I've definitely has been impressed on my heart, is just a wind of change blowing, like literally blowing a lot of change. That scripture, Isaiah 43, 19, which says, I'm doing a new thing, shall you not perceive it? It's literally like, has never felt more real to me personally. You know, and I believe actually not just, I thought it was just me, but it seems to be quite a number of us, but it is the Lord doing a new thing in this time. And it's a wind that is blowing and, you know, really shifting, changing things different to, you know, all sorts of things, systems changing, all sorts of change going on, changing of gods, all of that. But in all of this, you know, there is also personally, individually, I don't know if this is going to apply to all of you, but I know I have spoken to a couple of people, and I just mentioned this in passing. They're like, oh my gosh, this is what's happening. You're so right. This is what has been happening to me. Just with that whole thing of your heart being purified and God highlighting things, because he wants it more for you than we want it for ourselves. He wants us to be more and more like him. He wants us to come up higher. He wants us to commune with him. He wants all these things that we sometimes think we have to work for, or like, God doesn't want to give it to me, so I have to like beg him for. He actually wants it more for us than we realize. And he's like, I've got your attention. I've got you now. It's quiet. You're my bride. I want to prepare you and take you through this process of refining, and in that I'm going to remove all the impurities, and I'm going to highlight things to you, and I bring them to your attention, and that you know they may have been there before, as I said, but they never meant anything, as you know, or didn't mean as much when they were there before. But I'm bringing them to your attention so that you can come to me and talk to me about it, and I can help you, like we can work through it together, you know. It's just that the Lord wants to help us, right, at the end of the day, and he doesn't want us to deal with all these things, because what they are is they, you know, hinder our oneness, and they just hinder us from moving forward in life as well. They hinder us from moving in our fullness, because what that jealousy, insecurity, arrogance does is it literally, you know, it's literally like you shoot yourself in the foot, because you can't move forward, because you are still stuck on trying to deal, you know, you're still jealous of something, and therefore the business that the Lord's trying to birth through you, you have no clarity on it, because it's just there, because you're comparing it to somebody else's, or you're doing this, or you're doing that, you know, or you're just draining people. You know, you speak to people sometimes, I speak to them and I'm like, I can't speak to you too much because you absolutely drain me. Like, you know, sometimes, you know, it means that you're just draining people because you're pouring out all your wounds on people. Sometimes that happens, you know, you could, the state of someone's heart. So it's like, God's like, this heart, we need to clean this up. We need to clean it up. So he's got our attention now. And that's what's probably happening to some of you. And you might be feeling like, oh gosh, like, why is this? I feel like I'm a bad person. I feel like this, or what's this happening? It's not meant to feel this way, or it's not meant to be this way, especially as people are having encounters. You know, like, oh, want to have encounters with Jesus. That heart fixing is the encounter that you need right now. You know, all the repair is the encounter. This is part of the reset. We've talked about reset. This is part of the reset process, is cleaning up all of this mess that should have been gone before, you know, because the higher and the more you walk in the Lord, the more revelation comes to you, the more he'll highlight things to you. You know how it is, like, there's some stuff that God delivered you from like 3 years ago, and you're like, oh, amazing, I was delivered. And then you continue to walk deeper in him, and then he's like, let's go deeper into the root of more deliverance that's needed. You need to uproot these other things. And you're like, God, I thought we dealt with this 3 years ago. And he's like, you could not have handled it then because your level of revelation could not contain it. So it's an ever moving and evolving process. You know, as you get more and more, you get deeper in him, you know more, you get deeper in him, he highlights more in your heart. It's like that thing that's there, that particle that was right at the bottom, hiding in the corner. You know, he's like, I'm coming through it to clean it, you know, and I'm bringing it to the top so you know about it. So I just wanted to leave you with that. I just really wanted to come on here, talk about that, because I sense and I know that there are a few of us dealing with this, going through this right now. And, you know, you might be not knowing, you might not have found how to categorize this, basically what exactly this is. But I just want to draw your attention to what this is, what's happening. So I want you to meditate on that, speak to the Lord about it, you know, what he's doing, speak to him and let him show you how to navigate and just flow, go from a place of flowing with him at what he's, you know, what he says you should do, all of that. And just be aware that's what he's doing. And if you want to do things like, you know, write down things. I sometimes do it, like if I'm feeling very overwhelmed or stuff is just, you know, God, I just begin to write how, just be truthful and honest with him and be real with him and just write, you know, I don't get caught up in my feelings, but I just write, God, I feel this way. You know, this is how it is. And I find it helps once I get it out and I start talking to him about it and we're working through. And then he's like, okay, you know, this is how you deal with this. This is, you know, this is, and in the honest truth is how you deal with it. Most of all of these issues is really by taking the medicine of the word. But he'll draw your attention to the scripture. He'll draw your attention to this. He'll show you a similar character in the Bible that maybe dealt with this, how they dealt with it. You know, he'll show you, this is scripture. This is why I want you to meditate. This is why I want you to speak over yourself. This is how I want you to tackle it. You know, take your medicine, the medicine of the word. One of my mentors talks about that quite a bit. It's your medicine. It's your daily vitamins, everything you need, where he's showing you the vitamins you need to take to deal with that area. You know, and then, you know, he'll then begin to show you how you've been cured from it, because he'll show you that same thing. And, you know, it might be like, oh, I didn't, you know, then you notice he didn't have an issue with it. So it's a purification process that's happening. I just want to set you free, from whatever, you know, might be dealing with, and just, you know, encourage you to seek oneness with him. Just, you know, as you pursue that, these things are bound to happen. So don't get, you know, don't beat yourself up. This is the opportunity. View problems, view these hiccups as opportunities to actually God to like really work through you and work in you, in your life. So I think I've spoken enough, because I've said more than I've been on longer than I intended, but I had to get it out the way the Lord would have me get it out. So I hope this really did bless you. Please, you know, again, make sure you're spending time fellowshipping, doing all the things you need to do, etc. But I really hope that this blessed you, this meant something to you in whatever way, shape or form, and just continue to press on in Him. Spend this time, do what we need to do, ask Him to show you how to get deeper in Him as well. I'm definitely going to be doing that myself. I'm like, God, I need you to show me how to even get deeper in you. You know, maybe you need to take a break off social media. I'm one of those. But yes, you know, do all those things that are necessary. But I just want to, you know, just wanted to make sure I released that. But thank you all so much for tuning in for this podcast, for your love, your support, for everything. I really appreciate it. I really appreciate you all. God bless you and take care. Bye. So people, thank you so much for tuning in to the episode today. I hope it did something for you. It blessed you in whatever way it was meant to bless you. If you want to follow us on social media, we are a Dear Talks community, because we are a growing community. A lot of things happening in that space. But we are a community on Instagram. We are Dear Talks community. We are Dear Talks on all the other platforms, basically. Twitter, Facebook. I'm Mordia on Instagram, Mordia everywhere else. So you can follow me, follow Adia Talks, and stay tuned. We really do have a lot of things and changes and things that God has really been showing us about in this time happening. So do stay tuned and follow us on social media. But take care and God bless.